little bit of a different venue this week for the Breakfast with Ben's Fantasy Sports Podcast, coming to you from the Rivers Casino. I was doing a podcast earlier with our colleague Mark Madden at Trib Live, and now joining me for today's podcast, it is Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, best fantasy website in the business, best fantasy analyst in the business. Jeff joining us a day later than normal, had some scheduling issues yesterday on my end. I apologize for that. I don't apologize, however, Jeff, from retroactively making people think 1 second more about that Thursday night game for the second week in a row. Wow. A dog, not just to watch, but also for fantasy players too.
Yeah. You thought Indy Denver is bad? Only 21 total points. Wait, we'll go 19 total points this one. But at least there were two touchdowns. Honestly, this was a better game than last week. Last week was a farce, which actually there's something to be said for that, where you can just like post nasty stuff about the game all day and rip on it. But this one, I mean, the Bears had three red zone opportunities and came away with 0 points. That was it, basically. And the Commanders' only touchdown came when off of a muff punt. I wanted to make fun of them for like not going for it on fourth and one, taking the penalty so they could punt. But then it worked, so I couldn't even crap on them for that.
We mentioned the red zone opportunities for Chicago. As somebody who was looking at Herbert early in the season on the bench getting points and losing as a result, I put him in, and this is my touchdown heavy league. And yeah, I saw him get off to that great start. I saw 4 for 64 because I wasn't watching the game. I was covering the Penguins opener last night, but I was checking from time to time, and then it just stalled. It just stayed there at 4 for 65. I'm going to get screwed on this, aren't I? And yet he didn't get into the end zone.
Well, and getting stuffed on fourth and goal like that too. I mean, it wasn't really his fault. There was nowhere to go, but still it was just like that was emblematic of the Bears night. They just move the ball between the 20s and then fail there. And Fields is getting pounded too. He's just getting hit so many times. That Bears offensive line is really bad. So is the Commanders for that matter. Wentzkamp isn't getting protected very well either.
Well, I'll tell you what's bad, and it's getting lots of attention here in Pittsburgh, Jeff, and that is the Steelers defense. What are you thinking about Brady and Buccaneers players this week?
I think they're going to go to town. I mean, it's with Watt, without Watt, it's night and day difference. You know, sometimes you don't think losing one player completely changed the defense, but it does. The pass rush, they're one of like the bottom five teams in pressures without him. It was a completely different unit than the one on week one. Every week that goes by, as a boss of the Steelers, looks worse and worse and worse. It's already bad because it's a division loss anyhow, but it just looks awful.
You know what, Jeff, as well, the secondary being as banged up as it is, it's funny. Like, on the one hand, I don't want to say, oh my gosh, the Steelers are in trouble because their cornerbacks are all hurt, because I don't think their cornerbacks are all that good anyway. Right. But now they're down to those guys' backups. So what does that tell you going against Tom Brady with all the history of success he's had against Pittsburgh? And I'm also wondering, with their inability to generate pressure without Watt, like, they had one quarterback hit last week, one against Josh Allen. It was a blitz with Fitzpatrick. They're going to be even less willing to blitz Fitzpatrick because I think it'll be scared to death to take him out of the secondary and take him out of deep center field.
Yeah, 100% agree. I kind of curious to see how they approach it there. I think you're going to see like Fournette get a lot of touches because he'll probably be the check down guy. If they're focusing on coverage instead of pressure, I think that might be the solution there a little bit there. A lot of working underneath. I think the adjustment for Pittsburgh has to be try to prevent the deep ball that got them crushed last week, Gabe Davis in particular, but there's a lot of downfield throws, and I think they got to find a way to stop that first.
What are you hearing about Godwin's health?
You know, it's a veteran rest day yesterday. He's just, they're nursing him along, but he's much farther along than Julio Jones, who probably won't play again after no practice the first 2 days. I haven't heard about today yet, but you know, it's not looking great.
Steeler wide receivers, especially in touchdown dominant leagues like mine, have to be driving their owners crazy right now. They don't have a wide receiver touchdown yet.
I know, it's remarkable. They've had some PI in the end zone with Pickens, but it's been really tough. At least they're throwing it more effectively than they with Pickett than they were with Trubisky, but that's between the 20s at least. They left so many points on the board on the field against the Bills last week. There were three fourth down conversions in Bills territory that failed, two missed field goals. You know, that sort of thing just adds up after a while.
So I think if I really went down and kind of broke down the analysis, and I'm not going to do that. But I think the guy who essentially cost me a playoff spot and then knocked me out of the playoffs in the other league was Jaylen Waddle, single-handedly, just destroyed me. He is to me in fantasy what Brady is in real life to the Steelers. I can go in against him this week against Minnesota. What should I expect? How many points is he going to put up? And this is in my touchdown dominant league, by the way.
I mean, a touchdown could happen, but I think, you know, Waddle was kind of lesser used because Skylar Thompson was the quarterback for Miami, and it looks like he's going to be the starter again this week. Tua's definitely out. Bridgewater might play, but I think I heard something that he's been ruled out too. So I think that hurts Waddle a lot. I just moved him down in my rankings to about 25 or so this week. You know, he might get you. All it takes is one play, but, you know, the likelihood is a little lower.
Here are the running backs I'm facing. Chubb against New England, ETN against the Colts, and Michael Carter against Green Bay. Are all three of those guys going to eat, or do I have a little hope there?
You have some hope. I mean, Carter, it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, Chubb's going to eat. Chubb's eaten every single game so far this year. And then with ETN, he had more snaps than Robinson last week and looked better too. So this is a rematch from week two when Robinson actually went off against the Colts last time. I don't think he goes off this time. I think it is ETN a little bit more, but does he get in the end zone? I think Robinson's the goal line back. That's one thing in your favor.
One thing I did was I had Christian Kirk on my bench the first couple weeks. He put up some good numbers. Judy didn't do very much. I benched Judy. I put Kirk in, and of course, Kirk slowed down. Now I'm thinking about making a similar switch. Kirk out, Lockett in if Lockett's healthy. What are you hearing about Lockett's health?
You know, I think I kind of like that move. Pulling up the latest on Lockett right now to see what's going on with him. But, you know, I think it's a pretty good matchup against Arizona. He was limited with a hamstring yesterday. And, you know, with Kirk and, you know, Kirk's an issue just because we're not quite sure, you know, what Trevor Lawrence is going to do in any given week. He's really regressed the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, you could blame it on the weather and the Eagles. Last week, there was no excuse. Just had a horrible game against Houston. And that, that spilled down to Kirk's production there, too.
Couple of guys, one on my team, one that I'm facing injury-wise, Mostert, who I've got in my backfield, and I'm going up against Cooper Kupp this week, and I am worried about that, seeing as how they're going against Carolina.
Yeah, well, any week that you're going against Kupp is a bad week, right? Yeah. He gets his, no matter how bad this Rams offense is, and it is really bad, Tim. Mostert looks like he's okay. Returned to practice yesterday. Rested his knee on Wednesday. I mean, Miami, they really gave him the big workload against the Jets, and Chase Edmonds completely fell out of favor. In fact, Myles Gaskin was ahead of Edmonds last week. I don't know if that's an enduring thing, a one-game thing, or what, but Mostert's definitely the primary now there in Miami.
One guy that's making me happy as a fantasy owner after a couple of spotty outings early in the season is Austin Eckler. Last couple of weeks, he's been back to who I thought he would be when I took him in the first round.
Well, ironically, it was after their star left tackle, Rashawn Slater, was lost for the season. It's matchup based, though. He faced the Texans, and then he faced the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have the worst run defense in football right now.
Yeah, I think. And you know what? They went out and got who was it?
Deion Jones. Yeah, sorry. From Atlanta. Yeah, and absolutely.
I mean, he hasn't even played yet this year, right? He's been so hurt. So
yeah. Well, they lost Anthony Walker in that game against the Steelers on that Thursday night game, and that turned out to be a huge deal. They really are unhappy with their linebacker play, and it shows in the run game.
I feel like I ask you this every week. It's probably because I do, since I have Higgins in one league and Chase in the other, and you're my Bengals go-to. But, man, that's been a problem for me. Higgins can't stay healthy enough, and that means that other teams are just attacking Chase with coverage. Is that trend going to continue this week?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
is Higgins going to play?
Limited practice for Higgins today. So there is some good news on that. It's going to be a game time decision. Fortunately, it's in the early window, so we'll know. But they had a hard time Sunday night against the Ravens pulling the top off there because there was no Higgins on the other side. Chase is facing a lot of double teams, a lot of the two high shells. They turned him into a check down artist last week. He had 50 yards on 12 targets. It's sad to see.
Let's talk about some of the standout games this weekend, Jeff. Specifically, what are you looking for in Buffalo KC? I'm sure a lot of offensive players are going to put up a lot of numbers in that game. The over-under right now is somewhere around 54. I think it might go over. Who do you see popping the most from the fantasy perspective in that one?
You know, I think you're going to see, I mean, just more of the same from that playoff game last year. I think that they're going to, you know, attack the Chiefs' corners, the Bills are, which means you're going to see Diggs be very busy. I think you're going to see a healthy Gabe Davis go be very busy. We saw what, unfortunately, you guys saw pretty closely how what a healthy Gabe Davis looks like. They're going to have McKenzie back this week, most likely. So you might not see as much out of the rookie Khalil Shakir, but I'll tell you, Shakir can play. I think the Bills need to keep finding him a little bit more. On the Chiefs' side, they promised they're going to spread it around. The only thing you can count on is Kelce. After that, one week it's an MVS game. Another week it's a Juju game. Another week it might be Mecole Hardman. They're going to kind of – and even in the backs. You know, one thing to watch for is Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon actually had more snaps than CEH last week.
My two tight ends are playing each other, disappointing tight ends. Kittle against Atlanta, that means Pitts going against Kittle if Pitts plays. What's the word on Pitts?
Questionable, limited practice today, limited all week. But that's better than last week when he wasn't even practicing. You're right. And the tight end position this year has been very vexing. And you're
really
very
bad, really bad.
Yeah. If you got Kelce, you got Andrews, you're fine. If you have Goddard or Ertz, you're like, okay, I got what I paid for here. Other than that, it's been an unmitigated disaster. I mean, Hockenson had one amazing game in the Seattle game, but then he followed that up with one catch last week. You know, Darren Waller left the game last week, and, you know, he's on bye this week. I mean, and of course, Taysom Hill, we can't believe we haven't brought him up yet. He qualifies a tight end everywhere. So it's putting us all in the industry on tilt because he's not a tight end. No. He doesn't line up a tight end anywhere. He's like tight end 7 so far this year, but he has like 58 snaps. He barely plays, but it's just a man of opportunity. Those 4 touchdowns last week. Hard to start him, but the upside's clear.
You got a fantasy draft, you said, for hockey tonight. Jeff, how you feeling about it?
Woefully unprepared. You know,
who are your keepers? You said you got 3 keepers. Who are they?
Yeah, so I have Stamkos. I've had him forever. We don't have, like, salaries or anything attached to that. Roman Josi.
Josi, there you go.
Josi's a stud defender. And Markstrom, the keeper from
I like that one, too. Yeah. Is that what you got to do? You got to do one goalie, one defenseman, one forward?
No, and we have a unique league. It's a head-to-head points league. We play only on nights where the NHL has 7 or more games. We've been doing this league for 20 more years, back when we used to score it by hand. So that's why it's kind of remnant of that. And it's just goals, assists. You get a bonus for power play goals or shorthanded goals. And then game winner, you get a point for. And then goalie wins are worth 3, and a shutout's a bonus 2. And that's it. And so every goaltender is drafted, every single one. Every backup that's in the league pretty much gets drafted because you got to have somebody going that particular night, trying to know who has the most games on what we our league. It's called the PHL, named after a friend of ours who passed away, the Panucci Hockey League, we call it now. But, you know, it's every PHL night, you know, look to see who's got the more games on PHL. So Blackhawks and Ducks are always devalued because they play a lot of their home games on Friday when the league doesn't play as many games. So it's a little twist to the league there. But you know, you try to see who plays the most games. You know, you're trying to get stacks going as best you can, because you get some of these elite scoring, you want to get those Oilers, of course, and all that. So it's a fun
league. I want to get some Flames too.
Yes sir, it's a ticket to the carnival there, and that's why Markstrom's so useful too, because he gets a lot of wins.
All right, Jeff, what are you doing for baseball? Anything daily fantasy wise, or what does RotoWire have available for baseball fans that might be in postseason leagues?
You know, we've got the content there. We had a postseason cheat sheet. We've got some daily advice there. I personally don't play postseason. I just want to enjoy it. After a long fantasy season where I had 20 leagues, I just want to enjoy the playoffs. And I am doing that. Although we're already starting to think about our rankings for 2023 and our projections. I'm actually going to be doing a podcast with a couple of friends of mine in the industry on Sunday night, where we're going to do a 2-round mock draft. So off we go.
What about football? What can people find there at RotoWire this week?
My rankings on the value meter. You got 2 different free agent articles. We've got, breakdowns on the backfields, the targets, all sorts of pathways there, hidden tendencies, who to attack, who to avoid, which players are weaknesses for the on the defense for particular teams, all those things. You guys can check it out, rotowire.com/free. It's a free, no credit card trial. Check it out, kick the tires. Hopefully you want to subscribe.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again next week.